Chapter 2. The Nature of Pain. Egwene stood up straight, backside aflame with the now familiar agony of a solid beating beneath the hands of the mistress of novices. She felt like a rug that had just been pounded free of its dust. Despite that, she calmly straightened her white skirts, then turned to the room's mirror and calmly dabbed the tears from the corners of her eyes. Only one tear in each eye this time. She smiled to her reflection, and her twin selves nodded to one another in satisfaction. A small, dark-paneled room reflected behind her on the mirror's silvery surface. Such a stern place it was. A sturdy stool in the corner, the top darkened and smoothed from years and years of use. A blockish desk, set with the mistress of novices' thick tome. The narrow table directly behind Egwene had some carvings, but its leather padding was far more distinctive. Many a novice, and not a few excepted, had bent down across that table bearing the punishment for disobedience. Egwene could almost imagine that the table's dark color had come from repeated tear stains. Many of her own had been shed there, but none today. Only two tears, and neither had fallen from her cheeks. Not that she didn't hurt. Her entire body seemed to burn from the pain. Indeed, the severity of those beatings had increased the longer she continued to defy the powers in the White Tower. But as the beatings had grown more frequent and more painful, Egwene's resolve to endure had grown as well. She hadn't yet managed to embrace and accept the pain as the Aiel did, but she felt that she was close. The Aiel could laugh during the most cruel of tortures. Well, she could smile the moment she stood up. Each lash she endured, each pain she suffered, was a victory. And victory was always a reason for happiness, no matter how one's pride or one's skin burned. Standing beside the table behind Egwene, reflected in the mirror, was the mistress of novices herself. Sylviana looked down at the leather strap in her hands, frowning. Her ageless square face seemed just faintly confused. She regarded the strap as one might a knife that refused to cut, or a lamp that refused to light. The woman was of the red Aja, a fact reflected in the trim on the hem of her simple gray dress and the fringed shawl on her shoulders. She was tall and stocky, and she had her black hair back in a bun. In most ways, Egwene considered her a superior mistress of novices, even if she had administered a ridiculous number of punishments to Egwene, perhaps because of that. Sylviana did her duty. Light knew there were few enough in the tower lately of whom that could be said. Sylviana looked up and met Egwene's eyes in the mirror. She quickly put down the strap and washed all emotion from her face. Egwene turned around calmly. Uncharacteristically, Sylviana sighed. "When will you give this up, child?" she asked. "You've proven your point quite admirably, I must say, but you must know that I will continue to punish you until you submit. Proper order must be maintained." Egwene held in her shock. The mistress of novices rarely addressed Egwene except to offer instruction or reprobation. Still, there had been cracks before. "Proper order, Sylviana?" Egwene asked. "As it has been maintained elsewhere in the tower?" Sylviana's lips drew back in a line. She turned and made a notation in her book. "I will see you in the morning. Off to dinner with you." The morning punishment would be because Egwene had called the mistress of novices by her name and without adding the honorific Sedai to the end, and likely because both knew that Egwene would not curtsy before she left. "I will return in the morning," Egwene said, "but dinner must wait. I have been ordered to attend Elida this evening as she eats." This session with Sylviana had gone long. Egwene had brought quite a list of infractions with her, and now she wouldn't have time to eat. Her stomach complained at the prospect. Sylviana showed just a brief moment of emotion. Was it surprise? "And you said nothing of this earlier? Would it have changed anything if I had?" Sylviana did not respond to the question. "You will eat after attending the Armelin, then. I shall leave instructions for the mistress of the kitchens to hold you some food. Considering how often you are being given healing these days, child, you will need to take your meals. I won't have you collapsing from lack of nourishment." Stern, yet fair. A pity this one had found her way to the red. Very well, Egwene said. And after eating, Sylviana said, raising a finger, you shall return to me for showing disrespect to the Ammerlin seat. She is never to be known as simply Elida to you, child. She turned down to her ledger, adding, besides, Light only knows what kind of trouble you'll be in by this evening. As Egwene left the small chamber behind, entering a wide gray-stoned hallway with floor tiles of red and green, she considered that last comment. Perhaps it hadn't been surprise that Sylviana had shown upon hearing of Egwene's visit to Elida. Perhaps it had been sympathy. Elida would not react well when Egwene stood up to her the way she had to all others in the tower. Was that why Sylviana had decided to bring Egwene back for a final strapping after eating? With the orders Sylviana had given, Egwene would be required to take food before returning for her punishment, even if Elida heaped the strappings upon her. It was a small kindness, but Egwene was grateful for it. Enduring the daily punishments was difficult enough without skipping meals. As she pondered, two red sisters, Katarine and Barisine, approached her. Katarine held a brass cup, another dose of fork root. Elida wanted to make certain that Egwene couldn't channel a trickle during the meal, it seemed. Egwene took the cup without protesting and downed it in a single gulp, tasting the faint yet characteristic hint of mint. She handed the cup back to Katarine with an off-handed gesture, and the woman had no choice but to accept it, almost as if she were a royal cup-bearer. Egwene didn't head for Elida's quarters immediately. The overly long punishment's intrusion into the dinner hour ironically left her with a few spare moments, and she didn't want to arrive early, for that would show Elida deference. So instead she lingered outside the door of the Mistress of Novices with Katarine and Barisine. Would a certain figure come to visit the study? In the distance, small clusters of sisters walked the hallway's tiles of green and red. There was a furtive cast to their eyes, like hares venturing into a clearing to nibble at leaves, yet fearing the predator who hid in the shadows. Sisters in the tower these days always wore their shawls, and they never went about alone. Some even held the power, as if afraid of being jumped by footpads here in the White Tower itself. Are you pleased with this? Egwene found herself asking. She glanced at Katarine and Barisine. Both were, coincidentally, also part of the group that had first captured Egwene. What was that, child? Katarine asked coolly. Speaking to a sister without being asked a question first? Are you so eager for more punishment? She wore a conspicuous amount of red, her dress a bright crimson slashed with black, her dark hair curled slightly in its cascade down her back. Egwene ignored the threat. What more could they do to her? Set aside the bickering for a moment, Katarine, Egwene said, watching a group of yellows pass, their step quickening as they saw the two reds. Set aside the posturing for authority and the threats. Put these things away and look! Are you proud of this? The tower spent centuries without an Ammerlin being raised from the red. Now, when you finally have a chance, your chosen leader has done this to the tower. Women who won't meet the eyes of those they do not know familiarly. Sisters who travel in clusters. The Ajahs behave as if they are at war with one another. Katarine sniffed at the comment, though the lanky Barisine hesitated, glancing over her shoulder at the group of yellows hurrying down the corridor, several of them firing glances back at the two reds. This was not caused by the Ammerlin, Katarine said. It was created by your foolish rebels and their betrayal. My rebels? Egwene thought with an inward smile. So you now see them as mine, rather than regarding me as just a poor accepted who was duped? That's progress. Were we the ones who pulled down a sitting Ammerlin? Egwene asked. Were we the ones who turned warder against warder? Or the ones who failed to contain the dragon reborn? Have we chosen an Ammerlin who is so power-hungry she's ordered the construction of her own palace? A woman who has every sister wondering if she'll be the next to be stripped of the shawl? Katarine didn't respond, as though realizing that she shouldn't be drawn into an argument with a mere novice. Barisine still watched the distant yellows, her eyes wide,
worried.
"I should think," Egwene said, "that the Red should not be the ones sheltering Elida, but should instead provide her fiercest critics. For Elida's legacy will be your own. Remember that." Katarine glanced at her, eyes flaring, and Egwene suppressed a cringe. Perhaps that last had been too straightforward. "You will report to the Mistress of Novices tonight, child," Katarine informed her, "and explain how you showed disrespect to sisters and to the Ammerlin herself." Egwene held her tongue. Why was she wasting her time trying to convince Reds? The aged wooden door behind her snapped shut, making Egwene jump and glance over her shoulder. The tapestries to either side stirred slightly, then went still. Egwene hadn't realized that she'd left the door open just a crack as she'd left. Had Sylviana listened to the conversation? There was no more time to dawdle. It appeared that Alviarin wasn't going to come this evening. Where was she? She always arrived for punishment right around the time that Egwene finished. Egwene shook her head, then strode away down the hallway. The two Reds followed. They stayed with her increasingly now, following her, watching her, at all times except when Egwene visited the quarters of other Ajahs for training. She tried to act as if those two sisters were an honorary retinue rather than her jailers. She also tried to ignore the pain of her backside. All signs indicated that Egwene was winning her war against Elida. Earlier at lunch, Egwene had heard the novices gossiping about the dramatic failure Elida had suffered in failing to keep Rand captured. The event was several months past now, and was supposed to have been secret. And then there was the rumor of Ashaman bonding sisters who had been sent to destroy them. Another mission of Elida's that wasn't supposed to be known. Egwene had taken steps to keep these failures strong in the minds of the tower's occupants, much as she had with Elida's irregular treatment of Shemarin. Whatever the novices were gossiping about, the Aes Sedai were hearing. Yes, Egwene was winning, but she was beginning to lose the satisfaction she'd once felt at that victory. Who could take joy in seeing the Aes Sedai unraveling like aged canvas? Who could feel glad that Tar-Valon, the grandest of all great cities, was piled with refuse? As much as Egwene might despise Elida, she could not exult at seeing an Ammerlin seat lead with such incompetence. And now, tonight, she would face Elida in person. Egwene walked slowly through the hallways, pacing herself so as to not arrive early. How should she proceed at the dinner? During her 9 days back in the tower, Egwene had not so much as glimpsed Elida. Attending the woman would be dangerous. If she offended Elida just a hair too much, she could find herself being sent for execution. And yet, she could not simper and pander. She would not bow before the woman. Not if it cost her life. Egwene turned a corner, then pulled up short, nearly stumbling. The hallway ended abruptly in a stonework wall set with a bright tile mural. The image was that of an ancient Ammerlin, sitting on an ornate golden seat, holding forth her hand in warning to the kings and queens of the land. The plaque at the bottom declared it to be a depiction of Carraigan Maconar, ending the rebellion in Mos Adorin. Egwene vaguely recognized the mural. The last she'd seen it, it had been on the wall of the tower library. But when she'd seen it there, the Ammerlin's face hadn't been a mask of blood. The dead bodies depicted hanging from the eaves hadn't been there either. Katarine stepped up beside Egwene, face paling. Nobody liked to speak of the unnatural way rooms and corridors changed places in the tower. The transformations made for a solemn reminder that squabbles over authority were secondary to larger, horrible troubles in the world. This was the first time Egwene had seen not only a corridor moved, but a depiction altered as well. The Dark One stirred, and the very pattern itself was shaking. Egwene turned and stalked away from the misplaced mural. She couldn't focus on those problems right now. You scrubbed a floor clean by first picking a single spot and getting to work. She'd picked her spot. The White Tower had to be made whole. Unfortunately, this detour was going to take more time. Egwene reluctantly hastened her pace. It wouldn't do to be early, but she'd prefer not to be late either. Her two watchers hurried as well, skirts swishing as they backtracked through several corridors. As they did, Egwene caught sight of Alviarin hurrying around a corner, head down, walking toward the study of the Mistress of Novices. So she was going to her punishment after all. What had caused her to delay? Two more turns and one flight of cold stone steps later, Egwene found herself cutting through the red Aja section of the tower, as that now provided the quickest route up to the Ammerlin's quarters. Red tapestries hung on the walls, accented by crimson tiles on the floor. The women walking the corridors wore expressions of a near-uniform austerity, their shawls draped carefully over their shoulders and arms. Here in their own Aja's quarters, where they should be confident, they seemed insecure and suspicious, even of those servants who bustled about, bearing the flame of Tarvalin on their chests. Egwene passed through the hallways, wishing she didn't have to hurry so, as it made her look cowed. There was nothing to be done about it. At the center of the tower, she climbed several flights of stairs, eventually reaching the hallway that led to the Ammerlin's quarters. Her busyness with novice chores and lessons had left her with little time to consider her confrontation with the false Ammerlin. This was the woman who had pulled down Suan, the woman who had beaten Rand, and the woman who had pushed the Aes Sedai themselves to the very brink of collapse. Elida needed to know Egwene's anger. She needed to be humiliated and made ashamed. Egwene stopped in front of Elida's gilded door. No. She could imagine the scene easily. Elida enraged. Egwene banished to the dark cells beneath the tower. What good would that do? She could not confront the woman. Not yet. That would only lead to momentary satisfaction followed by a debilitating failure. But like she couldn't bow to Elida either. The Ammerlin did no such thing. Or, no. The Ammerlin did what was required of her. Which was more important, the White Tower or Egwene's pride? The only way to win this battle was to let Elida think that she was winning. No. No, the only way to win was to let Elida think there was no battle. Could Egwene keep a civil tongue long enough to survive this night? She wasn't certain. However, she needed to leave this dinner with Elida feeling that she was in control, that Egwene was properly cowed. The best way to achieve that, while maintaining some measure of pride, would be to say nothing at all. Silence. That would be her weapon this evening. Steeling herself, Egwene knocked. Her first surprise came when an Aes Sedai opened the door. Didn't Elida have servants to perform that function? Egwene didn't recognize the sister, but the ageless face was obvious. The woman was of the gray, as indicated by her shawl, and she was slender with a full bust. Her golden brown hair fell to the middle of her back, and she had a haunted cast to her eyes, as if she'd been under great strain recently. Elida sat inside. Egwene hesitated in the doorway, looking in at her rival for the first time since departing from the White Tower with Nynaeve and Elaine to hunt the Black Aja, a turning point that seemed an eternity ago. Handsome and statuesque, Elida seemed to have lost a small measure of her sternness. She sat, secure and smiling faintly, as if thinking on some joke that only she understood. Her chair was almost a throne, carved, gilded, and painted with red and white. There was a second place set at the table, presumably for the nameless gray sister. Egwene had never visited an Ammerlin's own quarters before, but she could imagine what Suan's might have looked like. Simple, yet not stark. Just enough ornamentation to indicate that this was the room of someone important, but not enough to become a distraction. Under Suan, everything would have served a function, perhaps several functions at once. Tables with hidden compartments, wall hangings that doubled as maps, crossed swords over the hearth that were oiled, should the warders need them. Or perhaps that was just fancy. Regardless, not only had Elida taken different rooms for her quarters, her decorations were notably rich. The entire suite hadn't been decorated yet, There was talk that she was adding to her rooms day by day, but what was there was very lavish. New silk brocades, all of red, hung from the walls and ceilings. The Tyran rug underfoot depicted birds aflight, and was so finely woven that it could almost be mistaken for a painting. Scattered through the room were pieces of furniture of a dozen different styles and makes, each one lavishly carved and inlaid with ivory. Here a series of vines, there a knobby ridged design, there crisscrossing serpents. More infuriating than the extravagance was the stole across Elida's shoulders. It was striped with 6 colors, not 7, but 6. Though Egwene had not chosen an Aja herself, she would have taken the green, but that didn't stop her from feeling a surge of anger at seeing that shawl with blue removed. One did not simply disband one of the Ajas, even if one were the Amarlin's seat. But Egwene held her tongue. This meeting was about survival. Egwene could bear straps of pain for the good of the tower. Could she bear Elida's arrogance as well? "No curtsy?" Elida asked as Egwene entered the room. "They said that you were stubborn. Well then, you shall visit the Mistress of Novices when this supper is through and inform her of the lapse. What do you say to that?"
"That you are a plague upon this structure as vile and destructive as any disease that has struck city and people in all years past. That you—"
Egwene broke her gaze away from Elida's.
And, feeling the shame of it vibrate through her very bones, she bowed her head.
Elida laughed, obviously taking the gesture the right way.
"Honestly, I expected you to be more troubled. It appears that Sylviana does know her duty. That is well. I'd worried that she, like far too many in the tower lately, had been shirking. Well, be busy with you. I won't wait all night to dine."
Egwene clenched her fists, but said nothing. The back wall was set with a long serving table bearing several silver platters, their polished domed lids dripping with condensation from the heated contents. There was also a silver soup tureen. To the side, the Grey Sister hovered near the door.
"Light!" The woman was terrified.
Egwene had rarely seen such an expression on a sister. What was causing it?
"Come, Maidani," Elida said to the Grey. "Are you going to hover all night? Sit down."
Egwene covered a moment of shock. Maidani? She was one of those sent by Shiriam and the others to spy on the White Tower. As Egwene checked the contents of each platter, she shot a glance over her shoulder. Maidani had found her way to the small, less ornate seat at Elida's side. Did the Grey always wear such finery to supper? Her neck sparkled with emeralds, and her muted green dress was of the most expensive silk, accentuating a bosom that might have been average on another woman, but that seemed ample on Maidani's slender body. Beonin said she'd warned the Grey Sisters that Elida knew they were spies. So why hadn't Maidani fled the tower? What was holding her here? Well, at least now the woman's expression of terror made sense.
"Maidani," Elida said, sipping from a goblet of wine, "you are rather wan this day. Have you been getting enough sun?"
"I have been spending a great deal of time with historical records, Elida," Maidani said, voice uneven. "Have you forgotten?"
"Ah, that is right," Elida said musingly. "It will be good to know how traitors have been treated in the past. Beheading seems too easy and simple a punishment to me. Those who split our tower, those who flaunt their defection, a very special reward will be needed for them. Well, continue your search, then."
Maidani sat down, hands in lap. Anyone other than an Aes Sedai would have had to mop her brow free of sweat. Egwene stirred the silver tureen, hand clutching the ladle with a white-knuckled grip. Elida knew. She knew that Maidani was a spy, and yet she still invited the woman to dinner, to play with her.
"Hurry up, girl," Elida snapped at Egwene.
Egwene plucked up the tureen, the handles warm beneath her fingers, and walked over to the small table.
She filled the bowls with a brownish broth bobbing with Queen's Crown mushrooms. It smelled so heavily peppered that any other flavor would be indistinguishable. So much food had gone bad that without spice the soup would be inedible. Egwene worked mechanically, like a wagon wheel rolling behind the oxen. She didn't have to make choices. She didn't have to respond. She just worked. She filled the soup bowls precisely, then fetched the bread basket and placed one piece, not too crusty, on each small porcelain bread saucer. She returned with a circular dab of butter for each, cut quickly but precisely from the larger brick with a couple of flicks of the knife. One did not spend long as an innkeeper's daughter without learning to serve a proper meal. Even as she worked, she stewed. Each step was agony, and not because of her still-burning backside. That physical pain, oddly, seemed insignificant now. It was secondary to the pain of remaining silent, the pain of not allowing herself to confront this awful woman, so regal, so arrogant. As the two women began their soup, pointedly ignoring the weevils in their bread, Egwene retreated to the side of the room and stood, hands clasped before her, posture stiff. Elida glanced at her, then smiled, apparently seeing another sign of subservience. In reality, Egwene didn't trust herself to move, for she feared that any activity would end with her slapping Elida across the face. Light, but this was hard.
"What talk is there in the tower, Medani?" Elida asked, dipping her bread in the soup.
"I don't have much time to listen."
Elida leaned forward.
"Oh, surely you know something. You have ears, and even greys must gossip. What are they saying about these rebels?"
Medani paled further.
Elida said. "When we were novices, I don't remember you being so slow of wit, Medani. You haven't impressed me these last few weeks. I begin to wonder why you were ever given the shawl. Perhaps it never belonged on your shoulders in the first place."
Medani's eyes opened wide. Elida smiled at her.
"Oh, I'm only teasing you, child. Back to your meal."
She joked.
Joked about how she had stolen the shawl from a woman, humiliating her to such an extent that she fled the tower. Light! What had happened to Elida?
Egwene had met this woman before, and Elida had struck her as stern but not tyrannical. Power changed people. It appeared that in Elida's case, holding the Ammerlin seat had taken her sternness and solemnity and replaced them with a heady sense of entitlement and cruelty.
Medani looked up. I have heard sisters express worry about the Seanchan."
Elida waved an indifferent hand, sipping her soup.
"Bah! They are too distant to be of danger to us. I wonder if they're secretly working for the Dragon Reborn. Either way, I suspect that the rumors about them are largely exaggerated."
Elida glanced at Egwene.
"It's a source of constant amusement to me that some will believe anything that they hear."
Egwene couldn't speak. She could barely have sputtered. How would Elida feel about these exaggerated rumors if the Seanchan slapped a cold Adam around her idiot neck? Egwene could sometimes feel that band on her own skin itching, impossible to move. Sometimes it still made her faintly sick to move around freely, as if she felt that she should be locked away, chained to the post on the wall by a simple loop of metal. She knew what she had dreamed, and knew those dreams to be prophetic. The Seanchan would strike at the White Tower itself. Elida, obviously, discounted her warnings.
"No," Elida said, waving for Egwene to bring another ladle of soup. "These Seanchan are not the problem. The real danger is the complete lack of obedience shown by the Aes Sedai. What will I have to do to end those foolish talks at the bridges? How many sisters will have to do penance before they acknowledge my authority?"
She sat, tapping her spoon against her soup cup. Egwene, at the serving table, picked up the tureen, retrieving the ladle from its silver holder.
"Yes," Elida mused.
If the sisters had been obedient, then the tower wouldn't be divided. Those rebels would have obeyed rather than running off like a silly flock of startled birds. If the sisters were obedient, we would have the dragon reborn in our hands, and those horrid men training in their black tower would have been dealt with long ago. What do you think, Medani?
Obedience is certainly important, Elida.
Elida shook her head as Egwene ladled soup into her bowl. Anyone would admit that, Medani. I asked what should be done. Fortunately, I have an idea myself. Doesn't it strike you as strange that the three oaths contain no mention of obedience to the White Tower? Sisters cannot lie, cannot make a weapon for men to kill other men, and cannot use the power as a weapon against others except in defense. Those oaths have always seemed too lax to me. Why no oath to obey the Ammerlin? If that simple promise were part of all of us, how much pain and difficulty could we have avoided? Perhaps some revision is in order.
Egwene stood still.
Once she herself hadn't understood the importance of the oaths. She suspected that many a novice and accepted had questioned their usefulness. But she had learned, as every Aes Sedai must, their importance. The three oaths were what made the Aes Sedai. They were what kept the Aes Sedai doing what was best for the world. But more than that, they were a shelter from accusations. Changing them? Well, it would be an unprecedented disaster. Elida should know that. The false Ammerlin just turned back to her soup, smiling to herself, no doubt contemplating a fourth oath to demand obedience. Couldn't she see how that would undermine the tower itself? It would transform the Ammerlin from a leader to a despot. Egwene's rage boiled within her, steaming like the soup in her hands. This woman, this creature, she was the cause of the problems in the White Tower. She was the one who caused division between rebels and loyalists. She had taken Rand captive and beaten him. She was a disaster. Egwene felt herself shaking. In another moment, she'd burst and let Elida hear truth. It was boiling free from her, and she could barely contain it. No, she thought. If I do that, my battle ends. I lose my war. So Egwene did the only thing she could think of to stop herself. She dumped the soup on the floor. Brownish liquid sprayed across the delicate rug of red, yellow, and green birds aflight. Elida cursed, jumping up from her seat and backing away from the spill. None of the liquid had gotten on her dress, which was a shame. Egwene calmly snatched a serving towel off of the table and began to mop up the spill.
"You clumsy idiot!" Elida snapped.
"I'm sorry," Egwene said. "I wish that hadn't happened." And she did. She wished none of this evening had occurred. She wished Elida weren't in control. She wished the tower had never been broken. She wished she hadn't been forced to spill the soup on the floor, but she had. And so she dealt with it, kneeling and scrubbing. Elida sputtered, pointing.
"That rug is worth more than your entire village, Wilder. Medani, help her."
The gray didn't offer a single objection. She scurried over and grabbed a bucket of chilled water which had been cooling some wine and hurried back to help Egwene. Elida moved over to a door on the far side of the room to call for servants.
"Send for me,"
Egwene whispered as Medani knelt down to help clean.
"What?" "Send for me to give me instruction," Egwene said quietly, glancing at Elida, whose back was turned. "We need to speak."
Egwene had originally intended to avoid the Saladar spies, letting Baonin act as her messenger. But she had too many questions. Why hadn't Medani fled the tower? What were the spies planning? Had any of the others been adopted by Elida and beaten down as soundly as Medani? Medani glanced at Elida, then back at Egwene. "I may not seem it sometimes, but I'm still Aes Sedai, girl. You cannot order me." "I am your Ammerlin, Medani," Egwene said calmly, wringing a towel full of soup into a pitcher. "And you would do best to remember it. unless you want the three oaths replaced with vows to serve Elida for eternity. Medani glanced at her, then cringed at Elida's shrill calls for servants. The poor woman had obviously seen a hard time lately. Egwene laid a hand on her shoulder. Elida can be unseated, Medani. The tower will be reunited. I will see it happen, but we must keep courage. Send for me. Medani looked up, studying Egwene.
How do you do it?
They say you're punished 3 and 4 times a day, that you need healing between so that they can beat you further.
How can you take it?
I take it because I must, Egwene said, lowering her hand. Just as we all do what we must. Your service here watching Elida is difficult, I can see, but know that your work is noticed and appreciated.
Egwene didn't know if Medani really had been sent to spy on Elida, but it was always better for a woman to think that her suffering was for a good purpose. It seemed to have been the right thing to say, for Medani straightened, taking heart and nodding.
Thank you.
Elida was returning, behind her 3 servants.
Send for me,
Egwene ordered Medani again, voice a whisper.
I am one of the few in this tower who has a good excuse to move between the various Aja quarters. I can help heal what has been broken, but I will need your help.
Medani hesitated, then nodded.
Very well.
You, Elida snapped, stepping up to Egwene. Out! I want you to tell Sylviana to strap you as she's never strapped a woman before. I want her to punish you, then heal you on the spot, then beat you again. Go!
Egwene stood, handing her towel to one of the servants. Then she walked to the exit.
And don't think that your clumsiness has allowed you to escape your duties, Elida continued from behind. You will return and serve me again on another date. And if you so much as spill another drop, I will have you locked away in a cell with no windows or lights for a week. Do you understand?
Egwene left the room. Had this woman ever been a true Aes Sedai, in control of her emotions? Yet Egwene herself had lost control of her emotions. She should never have let herself get to a point where she'd been forced to drop the soup. She had underestimated how infuriating Elida could be, but that would not happen again. She calmed herself as she walked, breathing in and out. Rage did her no good. You didn't get mad at the weasel who was sneaking into your yard and eating your hens. You simply laid a trap and disposed of the animal. Anger was pointless. Hands still smelling faintly of pepper and spices, she made her way down to the lowest level of the tower, to the novices' dining hall beside the main kitchens. Egwene had worked in those kitchens herself frequently during the last 9 days. Every novice was required to work chores. The smells of the place, charcoal and smoke, simmering soups, and sharp, unscented soaps, were very familiar to her. The smells weren't that different, actually, from the kitchen of her father's inn back in the Two Rivers. The white-walled room was empty, the tables sitting unattended, though there was a small tray on one of them, covered with a pot lid to keep it warm. Her cushion was there as well, left by the novices to soften the hard bench. Egwene approached, but ignored the cushion as she always did, though she was grateful for the gesture. She sat and removed the lid from the meal. Unfortunately, all she found was a bowl of the same brownish soup. There was no hint of the roast, gravy, or long, thin, buttered beans that had made up the rest of Elida's meal. Still, it was food, and Egwene's stomach was grateful for it. Elida hadn't ordered that she immediately go for punishment, and so Sylviana's order that she eat first took precedence. Or, at least, there was enough of an argument there to protect her. She ate quietly, alone. The soup was indeed spicy, and it tasted as much of pepper as it had smelled, but she didn't mind. Other than that, it was actually quite good. She'd also been left a few slices of bread, though she'd gotten the ends of the loaf. All in all, not a bad meal for someone who had thought she might get nothing. Egwene ate contemplatively, listening to Laris and the scullions bang pots at washing up in the other room, surprised at how calm she felt. She had changed.
something was different about her. Watching Elida, finally confronting the woman who had been her rival all of these months, forced her to look at what she was doing in a new light. She had imagined herself undermining Elida and seizing control of the White Tower from within. Now she realized that she didn't need to undermine Elida. The woman was fully capable of doing that herself. Why, Egwene could picture the reactions of the sitters and Aja heads when Elida announced her intention to change the three oaths. Elida would topple eventually, with or without Egwene's help. Egwene's duty as Amyrlin wasn't to speed that fall, but to do whatever she could to hold the tower and its occupants together. They couldn't afford to fracture further. Her duty was to hold back the chaos and destruction that threatened them all, to reforge the tower. As she finished off her soup, using the last piece of bread to wipe the remnants from the bowl, she realized she had to do whatever she could to be a strength to the sisters in the tower. Time was growing very short. What was Rand doing to the world without guidance? When would the Seanchan attack to the north? They'd have to cut through Andor to get to Tar Valon. And what destruction would that cause? Surely she had some time to reforge the tower before the attack came, but no moments to waste. Egwene took her dish into the kitchen proper and washed it herself, earning a nod of approval from the hefty mistress of the kitchens. After that, Egwene made her way up to Sylviana's study. She needed to get her punishment done quickly. She still intended to visit Lyanna tonight, as was her custom. Egwene knocked, then entered, finding Sylviana at her desk, leafing through a thick tome by the light of two silver lamps. When Egwene entered, Sylviana marked the page with a small length of red cloth, then shut it. The worn cover read, "Meditations on the Kindling Flame, a history of the rise of various Amyrlins." Curious. Egwene sat down on a stool before the desk, not flinching at the immediate sharp pain of her backside, and spoke calmly about the evening, omitting the fact that she'd dropped the bowl of soup on purpose. She did, however, say that she'd dropped it after Elida had talked of revoking and changing the three oaths. Sylviana looked very thoughtful at that. "Well," the woman said, standing up and fetching her lash, "the Amyrlin has spoken." "Yes, I have," Egwene said, standing up and positioning herself on the table, skirts and shift up for the beating. Sylviana hesitated, and then the strapping began. Oddly, Egwene felt no desire to cry out. It hurt, of course, but she just couldn't scream. How ridiculous the punishment was. She remembered her pain at seeing the sisters pass in the hallways, regarding one another with fear, suspicion, and distrust. She remembered the agony of serving Elida while holding her tongue, and she remembered the sheer horror at the idea of everyone in the tower being bound by oath to obey such a tyrant. Egwene remembered her pity for poor Medani. No sister should be treated in such a way. Imprisonment was one thing, but beating a woman down, toying with her, hinting at the torture to come, it was insufferable. Each of these things was a pain inside of Egwene, a knife to the chest, piercing the heart. As the beating continued, she realized that nothing else they could do to her body would ever compare to the pain of soul she felt at seeing the White Towers suffer beneath Elida's hand. Compared with those internal agonies, the beating was ridiculous. And so she began to laugh. It wasn't a forced laugh. It wasn't a defiant laugh. It was the laughter of disbelief, of incredulity. How could they think that beating her would solve anything? It was ludicrous. The lashing stopped. Egwene turned. Surely that wasn't all of it. Sylviana was regarding her with a concerned expression. "Child," she asked, "are you all right?"
"I'm quite well."
"You are certain? How are your thoughts?"
"She thinks I've broken under the strain," Egwene realized. "She beats me and I laugh from it."
"My thoughts are well," Egwene said. "I don't laugh because I've been broken, Sylviana. I laugh because it is absurd to beat me." The woman's expression darkened.
"Can't you see it?" Egwene asked. "Don't you feel the pain?" The agony of watching the tower crumble around you? Could any beating compare to that? Sylviana did not respond. I understand, Egwene thought. I didn't realize what the Aiel did. I assumed that I just had to be harder, and that was what would teach me to laugh at pain. But it's not hardness at all. It's not strength that makes me laugh. It's understanding. To let the tower fall, to let the Aes Sedai fail, the pain of that would destroy her. She had to stop it, for she was the Ammerlin Seat. I cannot refuse to punish you, Sylviana said. You realize that? Of course, Egwene said. But please remind me of something. What was it you said about Shemarin? Why was it Elida got away with taking the shawl from her? It was because Shemarin accepted it, Sylviana replied. She treated herself as if she really had lost the shawl. She didn't fight back. I will not make the same mistake, Sylviana. Elida can say whatever she wants, but that doesn't change who I am, or who any of us are. Even if she tries to change the three oaths, there will be those who resist, who hold to what is correct. And so, when you beat me, you beat the Ammerlin Seat, and that should be amusing enough to make us both laugh. The punishment continued, and Egwene embraced the pain, took it into herself, and judged it insignificant, impatient for the punishment to cease. She had a lot of work to do.